It's showtime, folks. Welcome in Chase and Big Joe on this Wednesday. It's playoff time in Tennessee once again for the Nashville Predators. Hope you're having a great start to your day. Big Joe will be along in just a second. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. Chase McCabe with you. And while the Predators didn't get the 2 points last night, they did get the point they needed and therefore have clinched a berth, that's with an E, in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So I'm very excited about that as JoJo comes banging in here and ready to go on a Wednesday. Philip Forsberg is going to join us at 10 o'clock today.
Let me just say, and I'll just get here, the construction on Donaldson Pike is, I don't know who planned that. I think we did it. We could have done a better job. Donaldson Pike is an absolute disaster. If you're coming that way to the airport, let me tell you what.
Is it a show with a word you can't say on the radio?
It's a lot of things. I haven't even sat down yet. It is beyond awful, and I stubbed my toe. I yelled at a guy in the fast lane going 25 miles an hour backing everybody up. So it's good to be here. I'm glad I'm here, and I'm thankful.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest with you. I think we got, and this is a whole different conversation, and this is a rabbit hole to go down. We got too many regulations and laws and rules and all this stuff. But if you're driving in the fast lane and you're doing below the speed limit, like really the speed limit in general, but especially if you're below the speed limit, which
right.
I witness on a daily basis.
Correct.
30 days in jail, minimum.
I could be with you on this. I'll fund the bill.
Like, it drives me freaking, just get out of the way. And here's another little, now you got me fired up.
Yeah.
Here's another little PSA. There are some people, and I know a few of these people.
Right.
That don't like driving on the interstate.
Then don't.
Then don't.
Right.
Like, if you're scared to drive on the interstate, then don't drive on the interstate.
And some bonehead's going to text in, well, the left lane is the passing lane. It's not the fast lane. No. The left lane is the fast lane.
Yeah,
let's get this out of the way.
I don't care what the book says.
Right.
The vast majority of the population has ignored the book for the last 30 years. Like, so, no, it is the fast lane. And here's another thing, too, that drives me nuts. Now, all of a sudden, the middle lane has become, like, you got, which I kind of get, but, like, you know, tractor trailers
yeah.
or, like, a truck pulling a trailer. Campers, whatever, they go to the middle lane, and I understand the concept behind it, so I'm not going to get too mad because they're trying to get out of the merging
okay.
lane and the fast lane, but that does kind of screw things up too. So
it does.
Can we just have a separate interstate for
instead for of our national airport tweeting out how great they are and all the great people? That's fine, whatever, and how great all these parties that the airport staff post at the events they go to, whatever. When you did the construction over there, did you not think about traffic? Was that the last thing you thought about, was the
no.
traffic? It shouldn't take me 20 minutes to get from one side of Donaldson to the radio station. Now, if there's a wreck, I understand it. I hope everybody's okay, but there was no wreck. There was not a single wreck or anything, so I'm good. I just got to calm down. How about, in the words of Bob Hope,
hey, how about them Nashville Predators?
I know.
Hampton?
How about them? This text is going to make you laugh.
Good.
And so I got to read it. 615-737-1025. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 1978 says, glad Joe picked up where B-Hop left off a few years ago with being late. Hashtag whatnot.
Thank you, Mr. Buckethead. Appreciate it.
Joe, just take a breath and say a prayer. You'll be fine.
No, I am.
That's another.
I am.
Good. Yeah.
I'm good. It's just very frustrating that the last people they thought about airport construction was the traffic on Donaldson Pike.
That's the thing. They don't think. They think in their own little bubble.
When you get to the interstate and you look down and it's backed up past the interstate on Donaldson Pike, and that's the only route you got, then you're like, what in the world's going on? So
yes. So the Predators have clinched a spot in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Philip Forsberg going to join us around 10 o'clock today.
Really, I got some questions for him.
So do I. I'm excited to talk to him. I wish we were talking about a win. I wish we were talking about him breaking Matt Duchene's record. Unfortunately, that didn't happen, but that's okay. We got a playoff
right.
berth to discuss. So
you're in.
Yes.
You're in. And I thought yesterday I love hearing Barry Trotz on with Jared on Tuesdays at 5.
Yes, great segment.
It is fantastic, and I don't heap out praise a lot, but when Jared asked Barry about playing Dallas or Vancouver, and his answer for both of those was fantastic. I'm not going to tell you. Go back on the podcast.
Well, we're about to play it. I can see Dr. Crane pulling it up back there. We're about to play it.
It was just a great answer because basically Barry's like, we're happy to be in, and here's the scenarios with these two teams when we get in and why we be happy to play either team. I thought it was great.
Yeah, and like, here's my thing. I have a PSA and then a comment on that. I get asked that a lot. And I was asked that last night by somebody that works here, like, who would you rather play? And my answer was the Rock GIF doing this, if you're watching on the stream, but saying, yeah, just bring it.
Bring it on.
That, like, I don't care. You're in the playoffs. Bring on. You got to play them anyway at some point. Like, if they're good and you're good, eventually you're probably going to meet. That's generally how it works out. I have never subscribed to the, oh, I'd rather play this. Now, I can get into matchups and things like that. Quite frankly, I actually think the Predators match up against Dallas pretty well. So, you know, you can take that for what you will, but it's a just get in. Now, the other thing, too, my PSA, for those of you that are going to be tweeting about this and everything, that a playoff berth, that is with an E. That is not birth like birthing a child.
Oh.
I see that a lot. And I just want to help the people out. It is B-E-R-T-H.
Oh, please point that out.
Yes.
Because that's as bad as loose and loose.
Yes.
Hope the Preds don't loose tonight.
Right.
Yeah, me neither.
So here's Barry Trotz yesterday when asked about who he wants to play.
Well, I think you, whatever way you want to spin it, I mean, we can look at our last game, division opponent, and we can use all those things. At the same time, you can go to Vancouver, and just being in Canada, there's a lot more pressure on them. They're a good hockey team. I watched them last night actually against the Golden Knights, and they beat the Golden Knights last night. So no matter who you play, it's going to be a really good series, I would hope, because of the fact that they're good teams, and I think we're a good team. And I think you're going to have to look at them all differently, but I know if you go up to Canada, there's more travel, all that. There's probably more pressure on the Canucks to win because of the Canadian market and Vancouver just as a market itself.
If you want me to ramp up the pressure, I'll ramp up the pressure. Right. I don't have a problem with that.
No, I think both fan bases will ramp up the pressure.
That was Barry Trotz with Jared Stillman yesterday. Yep. Again, fantastic stuff that we've had all year long with Barry Trotz, the GM. And so I looked at this last night. Here's a fun little stat for you.
Sure.
So Saturday is the home finale for the team. They'll go to Pittsburgh and wrap up the season on Monday. But it's the home finale for the Predators. That is April 13th, 2024. 10 years ago to that day was Barry Trotz's final game as head coach of the Predators.
Oh, nice. Look at you.
Kind of a interesting little thing.
That is.
But just think about 10 years ago, we're all in this press conference room at Bridgestone Arena, all just tears, you know, saying goodbye to Barry Trotz as the head coach.
Tears.
And less than 10 years later,
he's back.
He's back as the GM and has, in a year, punched a ticket to the playoffs.
Love it.
I mean, that's
big Barry Trotz fans. Yeah, yeah. Well done. And then, again, once you're in, anything can happen. And this team, and I asked Forsberg this, last night was, I know, don't be happy that you tied and you got the point, whatever. But they could have easily wilted last night after the first period.
Oh.
They could. But I think the second and third period, they fought back so hard to tie that game, get overtime, that you got a little deep down inside, a little pride to how you battled back. Now, you're not happy because you got beat at the end.
Sure.
But you competed. And you gave 40 minutes in the second and third periods, and you played really well.
Well, and we'll ask Phil about this, but the frustrating part has to be that you had 48 shots on goal. They only had 22, and you still lost the game 4-3 in overtime. I mean, again, you and I have argued over this. I mean, they played well enough to win. Unfortunately, they did not. Connor Hellebuck was
was
quite good, but
they did. But and I was going to say, had they gotten beat after the if the first period continued the trend last night,
yeah,
they just got beat by a better team,
right?
Last night, Winnipeg after the first period was a better hockey team than Nashville Predators. But again,
how about them Nashville Predators? Ain't they something?
They are something. But Winnipeg does not score again until overtime. They score three in the first period, have a 3-1 lead. Nashville battles back, scores two in the third to tie it up. Ryan O'Reilly with a beaut for sure. And they get that point that they need, and they have now clinched a Stanley Cup playoff berth with an E. And now we'll wrap up the regular season and see who they're going to play.
Although I would be fascinated to watch a playoff berth with an I. That would be – I mean, does Nash pop out a playoff berth? Is that how that works? I'm not sure how that goes.
I don't really know how that would work.
You know what? Maybe at the first playoff game they get a watermelon, okay? Follow me. Reenact the office here. Watermelon, you get some butter, and you get a blanket, and you do what they did in the office. You reenact it. See if it's easy enough, and make sure you get a Sharpie. Mark the watermelon. Just saying.
I remember that's a great episode.
It's a great episode.
Right.
I did not. Dr. Green, I'm going to be honest with you. I had no idea where you were going with that for a second.
I don't think he did either.
But that's okay. We're up and running here on a Wednesday. You can weigh in on the Predators clinching their spot in the Stanley Cup playoffs, the game last night, anything that you want to talk about. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Huge show today. John McClain will join us at 9:30. We'll get into the NFL and the draft with him. Philip Forsberg around 10. Comedian Sugar Sammy at 10:30. He's going to be in our city this week. A lot of comedy shows coming up this week, and we got even bigger things to discuss later in the week. With a guest. I mean, we got some loaded guests coming up later in the week.
Can you tell us about any of them?
Yeah, we'll just go ahead and say it. We're at the Omni tomorrow. Jeff Dunham is going to join the show. Ice Cube is going to join the show.
I mean, what world?
I am excited about Ice Cube.
What world are we living in that we have Ice Cube tomorrow?
Well, the Big Three is going to be coming to town. He'll tell us about that. So lots to get into. But that's all ahead for later in the week. And today, Chase and Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
I know you would have liked to win, but you guys get the points. You clinch up a playoff berth tonight. Just what do you think of that accomplishment for your group, I guess?
First of all, proud of the process that we believed in and the confidence we had and trusting what we do. And we don't always get rewarded for it, but we did tonight. Obviously, it was a big point to get. A love for the home crowd, especially, with the McCarron fight, I thought really got them going, and they kind of carried us through the third period. It would have been nice to get them a win. But again, just the resiliency our group showed and the, like I said, the confidence. And we were going to have it easy. Unfortunately, that's just the way we are. And we don't mind it hard. And tonight was hard.
That was Andrew Burnett after the win last night. Predators clinched their spot in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It was a 4-3 overtime loss. Winnipeg gets the win, but Predators get the needed point, and therefore they are in the Stanley Cup playoffs once again. And I think what really stands out to me is when this whole process started, and really to me the starting point of this process was January of last year, when David Poile, who was there last night, by the way, they showed him with Barry Trotz, when David Poile announced he was going to be retiring and that Barry Trotz would take over as general manager, they started, I guess it was more February, they started the process of trading off, longtime assets, trying to get younger, get draft assets, draft capital, traded guys like Matthias Ekholm, and you kind of looked at it as, all right, they're closing the door on one era. They're going to start building for another era. Whether you called it a rebuild, a retool, reset, whatever you wanted to call it, that's when the process started. And it went into the summer when Barry officially took over as a general manager. Poile completed his final draft. They added a lot of young prospects with that. And then you had the moves of trading Ryan Johansson, buying out Matt Duchene, signing Ryan O'Reilly, Gus Nyquist, bringing in serial winners, and then putting this team together for this year. But nobody really expected I would say anything. I think that was kind of my view of, you know, people would ask me, what do you think? You know, you think about these Predators. I'm like, I have no idea how they're going to be, if they're going to be good or they're going to be bad or what. I just think they're going to be a lot more fun to watch. And also, I forgot to mention, probably the biggest move that Barry Trotz made was he decided that even though he thought John Hines had done a great job, especially at the end of the year, was a good coach, he needed to go ahead and make that move and bring in his guy. He did that with Andrew Brunette. And, you know, a lot of people around the league, especially with as long as it took, kind of looked at that and was like, hey, I wonder what's going on here. You know, it took a while to make that decision, but it turned out to be the right decision. And Andrew Brunette has done a tremendous job in his first year as the head coach of the Predators. And now here they are punching their ticket to the playoffs. I don't think anybody was expecting playoffs in year one.
Good Lord, that was longer than Lincoln's speech at Gettysburg.
Well, I'm the boss. I can do that sometimes.
Dr. Crane liked that one. No, I think it's great. I think you win the road, the 50,000 game point streak, whatever they got. And, you know, you look at the flip side of that. What would have happened if they had lost all that? It's like, oh, my goodness. But they didn't. And they rallied and they won. And I told you this. They went out and picked up some guys who aren't big names, but who just love to play hockey.
Yeah.
Guys who just fit in and get out there and give you whatever, the 10, 12, 14 minutes. They might not show up on the stat sheet. They might not have a shot on goal, whatever, but they're filling the roles good. It reminds me of the 17 team when you had the Harry Zernichuk. What was
Zernichuk.
His name? Yeah. I mean, no, where's that? That guy's not, you know, a massive star. But he came in and did his job well. And Freddie Gaudreau, was that right? The other guy?
Well, yeah, and now he's, you know, a pretty good player.
What happened? Why'd they get rid of him? Where'd he go?
He went to Pittsburgh, and then now he's with Minnesota.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those guys just bounce around.
Sure. But I mean, his first three goals were in the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, that was great.
And the thing about that is I will say this forever until the end of time. If Ryan Johansson doesn't get hurt in the series against Anaheim, there's a Stanley Cup in Nashville.
With an injury I'd never heard of.
Yeah, nobody had ever heard of. I mean, I remember that vividly because I was back here. I wasn't traveling. And Ryan Porth and Darren McFarland get on the plane, and I get a text from Ryan. And I can tell the story now. I couldn't tell it then. It's like, hey, Johansson's not on the plane. Like, they had no idea. But they're like, Joey's not on the plane.
I was
like,
in the hallway.
That's not good.
And yeah. Vanderbilt Medical Center people came running in and then took him out on a gurney down the hallway. And I didn't know who it was because you couldn't see a face. I'm like, good. Maybe somebody had passed out or something. And that was rushing him to the hospital immediately for the compartmental.
Yeah.
Injury,
right, whatever it was called.
Right,
so
it's like, what in the world?
Now I'm also going to, I feel like I'm giving a lot of PSAs today.
Keep going, man.
It's natural, and I've done it, and we're going to continue to do it. It is natural to think about 2017. Different team though. I actually think this team is a hell of a lot better than that 2017 team. And so to me, you know, I don't really know what legitimate expectations are. It obviously depends on who they play. You know, Dallas is a team that a lot of people have identified as probably going to win the Stanley Cup or at least be in the final. Vancouver, I think, is a team that they're young, they're inexperienced. They got the right coach in Rick Tocchet. That was a brilliant move by them to get him. But they're, you know, they don't have the experience. And that's the key with the Predators. That bringing in Gus Nyquist, bringing in Ryan O'Reilly, bringing in Shin, you know, Ryan McDonough has won it. You got experience. Philip Forsberg, you got experience on this team. You got some young guys, but you got experience. That can take you a long way. And so I don't know exactly what the I will say the same thing that I said at the beginning of the year.
What's that, buddy? Is that another PSA?
I don't know what to expect. I don't know how good they're going to be, but they're going to be fun to watch. And I think that's exactly what we're going to see.
Yeah, and they're in. Congratulations to the Predators. Now go out and make some noise and do your little rock thing, whatever, bring it on. Was it come hither? What does it do? Come here?
Just bring it.
Just bring it. Yeah, that's it. The mentality. Go out and fight and get it. I love it. I think playoff hockey is simply fantastic.
Oh, it's and here's the other thing too. If you've never experienced it here, just wait.
Yeah,
and it's fun. Donovan says on our text line. So Willie did his stat of the night on the broadcast last night that Nashville shot attempts in the last three games. Nashville had 83 shot attempts, not necessarily shot on goals, but 83 shot attempts. They had 68 Sunday, 94 on Saturday, and their opponents had 45, 50, and 47.
What's a shot attempt?
That is basically the puck leaves your stick and heads towards the net. It's not necessarily on
that's
the
a
net.
Stat?
There, yeah, well, because there's shots on net,
well,
so
that
actually
one.
Hit the goalie, or the goalie has right. to do something about. And then there's just attempts. So, oh, yeah, there's a stat for everything.
There, that's crazy. Okay. All right. Well, bottom line is only one stat matters.
Yep. 8566 says, best move was bringing Ryan O'Reilly. He really is the factor. Is he the best free agent the Preds have ever picked up? I'm still going to say Paul Kariya.
By far.
Just because Paul Kariya is a Hall of Famer and where he was, even though he was in the twilight of his career, he was still pretty damn good, and it was the biggest free agent
as
they've ever signed.
Pete Weber says, that signing of Paul Kariya changed the narrative on the Nashville Predators.
Yes.
Because then nobody wanted to come here.
Right.
No top-level star. And by Paul Kariya coming here at that time in 2005, 6, whenever it was, it put the Nashville Predators on the map and changed the narrative of how people think about the Nashville Predators. Now, he wasn't as good as his brothers, but that's okay.
Whose brother?
Paul Kariya's brothers.
Oh.
North and South Korea.
Go outside. Okay, so can I tell a dad joke that I
please do.
So I was browsing Instagram this morning, because I guess that's what I do when I wake up.
Right,
I
just we all do it, yeah. Right?
And there's this account I follow, and so they had this clip from Family Feud, and it's this guy that he's, you know, Steve Harvey goes, so what do you do? And he goes, well, I'm retired, and I've been married for 49 years. And let me tell you, the secret to that is, you know, great communication and respect. You know, for our 25th anniversary, I took my wife to China, and next year I'm going to pick her up. And I laughed.
What did Steve Harvey do?
He laughed. Because he just wasn't expecting that.
That's a good China.
Scott in Shelbyville says, disappointed with whomever picked the three stars of the game last night. McCarron should have been the first star. Without that fight and his right hook, they never get that point. Nick Kieser, Robbie Stanley, they're a part of the media, so that's who picks it, so we'll blame them. I agree. That was the turning point. At the start of the third period, Big Mac drops the mitts. Oh. And, I mean, that right hook he had was, I mean.
What he had, he talked to Alex Daugherty of the Tennessean, and he had a quote, which I retweeted this morning. Hold on, and I want to get this out, make sure it's correct. All right, so Michael McCarron on his fight with Logan Stanley, this is Alex Daugherty's Twitter account, moment that sparked the comeback.
It's Robbie's cousin.
Is it?
No.
After this, Alex said that Michael McCarron said, I haven't hit someone that hard in a long time. And my tweet was, I should have been a hockey player. I mean, I haven't hit someone that hard.
You would be a fighter.
In a long – oh, my gosh, yes. I'd take some lumps, man, but that would be so much fun. So, big Michael McCarron fan.
Yeah, oh, he's awesome. Fantastic. So, the Predators – clinched their spot in the playoffs. Again, Philip Forsberg going to join us around 10 o'clock. Coming up next, we'll shift gears. We'll get into some football. John McClain, the legend, joins us from Houston, now writing for HoustonTexans.com. We'll talk to him next, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Big Joe on this Wednesday, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. And before we get to John McClain, caller number 3 at 615-737-1025 will be qualified to win a pair of tickets in the Eurostone Club to see Jeff Dunham this Sunday at Bridgestone Arena. Caller number 3, 615-737-1025. 1025, and you'll be qualified to win a pair of tickets in the Eurostone Club to see Jeff Dunham. Let's say hello to John McClain, who joins us now from Houston. And John, it literally was, as we said goodbye last week, we hang up the phone, we go to break, and the news comes out that Stephon Diggs is coming to the Houston Texans and is now a member of the AFC South. Did you see this coming at all?
It had been put out there by a couple of national guys, and I didn't buy it. But it's funny in Texas because Jerry Jones said about 3 weeks ago or right before free agency that the Cowboys were all in, and they re-signed their snapper and a third-string running back. And as I write for HoustonTexans.com, this is what all in is. Texans won't say it, but obviously they're trying to take advantage of C.J. Stroud being on his rookie contract. And also they had money for the first time since Nick Casario began his rebuild in 2021 to spend in free agency, just like Rand Carthon had money to spend, and he did. Looks like he spent it wisely. So they like Diggs. Diggs is coming off. It's funny. People were criticizing him about his production after Joe Brady was elevated to replace fired offensive coordinator Ken Dorsey. And he still finished with 107 catches, 1,183 yards, and 8 touchdowns. And not everybody would like to have a bad season like that. In his 4 seasons with the Bills, he has more catches than anybody in football. So the key to all this, they gave up a 2 from Minnesota in 2025. They get back, they get Diggs and a 6th-round pick this year, and they get a 5th-round pick next year. And the Bills were happy to get rid of him because he isn't a bad guy who gets arrested after having a wreck or DWI'd in the middle of the night. He's just not shy about expressing his feelings when he doesn't get the ball as much as he thinks. He'll chew out Josh Allen, chew out his coaches, go on social media. So what they did here, with Nico Collins coming off a great season and going to get paid, they tore up all of Diggs' contract, which would have gone through 2027. They made it a 1-year deal, and they gave him – he was due $2.5 million bonus after the season. They made it part of this contract and gave him a 1-year deal. So he's 30 years old. He'll be 31 in November, and he is going to be on his best behavior, and he is going to give them everything he's got. He's already working out with C.J. Stroud. There have been videos of those guys going at it together. And it was a really cool video that NFL Films put out. Probably never thought anything about it, but it's at the Pro Bowl where Diggs is standing next to Stroud on the sideline. And the mic was obviously up there, and Diggs was picking his brain about the Texans and what he liked about it and what his plans were and all that. And now it looked like a prophecy. And so they'll have Diggs, and they'll have Nico Collins, Tank Dell, who's already 100% after season-ending surgery, and then they re-signed their tight end Dalton Schultz. And that is a pretty dangerous first 4 receivers for C.J. Stroud. And so if Diggs plays really well and they want to re-sign him, guys who are going to be 32 in a season, or receivers, are not going to get big contracts. They're certainly not going to be long-term contracts. And remember, when he went to Minnesota and then he was traded to Buffalo, he was on his best behavior for a couple of years.
Right.
So I think it's a great move for them. Especially giving up 2 from the Vikings next year. They have 9 picks this year, 2 in the 2nd round, none in the 1st. So people here, as you can imagine, are really fired up about it. People in Buffalo are overjoyed.
Yeah, and I'm sure. And, you know, I look at this receiver room that Houston has right now. I mean, it's pretty packed. Is Robert Woods going to end up being the odd man out?
He could be. They've got like 9 receivers. There's a lot of competition. We were doing things here. 49ers have the best combination of wideouts in a tight end. Detroit's 2nd. The Texans might be right there with Detroit based on the production we've seen so far. But Nico Collins only done it 1 year. Tank Dell was a rookie. And, of course, Diggs is proven. So they're doing everything they can to help Stroud. Now they do not have to draft a receiver high in the draft.
talking to John McClain this morning on the Chase and Big Joe show. And John, I think Jim Harbaugh is just a master deceiver. You know, nobody talked about J.J. McCarthy until he got the Chargers job. And then he's talking about J.J. McCarthy. I just think he's throwing this blanket over NFL. And now J.J. McCarthy has risen way up with all the talk and a high draft choice as a quarterback and everything. Do you think Harbaugh really believes McCarthy can be that quarterback? Or, John, is he just throwing it out there to kind of create a little chaos?
He might believe it, Joe, because, you know, he helped him win a national championship. But if they needed a quarterback, would he draft him? We'll never know because they don't. Everybody sees through his BS of trying to act like McCarthy had the greatest pro day he's ever seen, greatest combine he's ever seen, because he obviously wants a team to trade up with Arizona and take quarterbacks first four so he can have his pick of every other player and probably trade down. Most people have them trading down with the Vikings from that spot and being able to get an offensive tackle and a wide receiver, which would be very smart. The key is, what do the Vikings think? What does Kevin O'Connell think? Offensive coordinator Wes Phillips, what do they think about J.J. McCarthy? I think a lot of times, and we'll see, a quarterback coming out of the season, we've seen all his games, and they're not highly rated, and then their stock skyrockets when they put on T-shirts and shorts. That a lot of times could be media concoctions, but they're hearing it from people who are, you know, everybody's telling lies at this point. And so if McCarthy, say, is available in Minnesota where the Vikings pick without trading up, then fine. But, boy, if they trade up to the fourth or fifth spot to get him, they better be right, because that is a decision you make for your franchise. And if you're not right, it'll get you fired.
Yeah, exactly. That being talked, you know, we were talking about Joe Walt here in Nashville all the time, John. You know, the Titans getting number seven. I mean, you saw the process with the Bruce Matthews, where he played three different spots, a Brad Hopkins, and then a Michael Roos, is how valuable it is. I mean, why do we make this so complicated, John, when you have a surefire, by all accounts, going to be a great NFL pro to plug in at a critical position? It would just be, I think if it comes down to it, the Titans have to take him at seven. Do you see any alternative of them trading back out when they've got such a sure thing to fit such a critical need on this football team?
And I'm sure the only reason you would do that is because you got Bill Callahan as your offensive line coach, and he's one of the best ever. I don't know if he's ever been blessed with inherited a first-round pick, gets an expensive free agent center, and then gets the best offensive tackle in the draft. It is a deep draft for offensive linemen. I've never seen so many tackles projected to go in the first round. And I just saw somebody's mock draft in which they have a tackle going at the bottom of the first round I've never heard of. So I had to look him up. And I doubt that many are going to be taken. But it's crucial. What if Minnesota traded up with the Chargers to the fifth spot? And then right before Arizona picked, Arizona trades with another team, the Giants or the Raiders or the Broncos. And so McCarthy goes with the fourth pick, and then Minnesota's twiddling their thumbs. That's why they got to be so careful. As far as what if the Chargers take Joe Walt? They need an offensive tackle, and he's the best by far. As sure a thing as you could say in this draft, plug him in and play 10 years. Barring injuries, with multiple Pro Bowls. And so if they were to stay there and take him, then I'm guessing that Rand would switch to one of those great wide receiver prospects, because you can never have too many for a young quarterback that you're hoping becomes the franchise.
He is the great John McClain joining us from Houston here on the Chase and Big Joe show. We'll have more with him coming up next. 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, continuing our conversation with John McClain from Houston. And ironically, NFL Network is currently showing a game that was played in Houston. 28-3 is all I have to say, and you know what game I'm talking about. John, were you at that Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah, I was at it, sure.
One of the greatest comebacks in NFL history. I want to ask you, you were just talking about J.J. McCarthy and like his stock. What have you heard from people that you've talked to about Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr.?
First of all, that was the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history and one of the greatest in NFL history. Penix, it's amazing to me. Nobody was talking about him being a first-round pick. Now I've seen people have the Raiders taking him at 13. He seems to be more of a second-round pick. So does Bo Nix. I just read a thing that Bo Nix was incredible when it came to throwing touchdown passes and avoiding interceptions when he was at Oregon. But his passes traveled an average of 6.3 yards, which was sixth worst out of like 127 teams. Now, did they ask him to do that because that's what the only thing they thought he could do? Or did they ask him to do that because that's what they would have done no matter who played quarterback because that's their system? And so I think Nick's, one of the things coaches love is guys who make good decisions. And when you throw as few interceptions as he threw when he got to Oregon, and he has 61 starts, more than any quarterback, Division I quarterback in NFL draft history. So everybody that likes experience, he's got it, he's accurate, and he makes good decisions. It's more, a lot of times now they put more emphasis on what kind of system a team plays in college. But generally, a coach in college does not switch up his system for a quarterback he could have 1 or 2 years. You know, you got a system you want to play, and then you find a quarterback and play it. And he obviously played it in different systems at Auburn. So I think he could sneak into the bottom of the first round, and Penix could too, especially because next year's draft is not supposed to be a good one for quarterbacks.
Well, and with all that said, no matter how many of these quarterbacks end up going in the first or second round, how much do you think Ryan Tannehill and his camp are going to be paying attention to what happens on draft weekend? Because I kind of feel like that's when the sweepstakes for him can really heat up.
There's a lot of free agents, Chase, who are waiting to see what happens in the draft. Teams are waiting to see what happens in the draft. And or Tannehill, he could wait until somebody got hurt. He's obviously going to be a backup. He's got to go in with the idea he's going to start, and he'd be like a coach. I can't imagine a team needing a good backup, especially for a young quarterback, would not have already been all over Ryan Tannehill. And I think some of these quarterbacks who've signed, they do it with the idea of, my guy gets hurt, this guy can win a few games, as opposed to if my guy gets hurt, this guy can keep us competitive. And I think looking at Tannehill's track record with the Titans after John Robinson made that trade, he's a guy you'd think, okay, he'll help the young guy. And if the young guy falters or he gets hurt, he can actually help us win games because he's done it over a long period of time. And if you're paying guys like Jameis Winston and Joe Flacco and those guys more money than people thought you should, I think Ryan Tannehill will have more than one offer to choose from.
Talking to the great John McClain this morning on the Chase and Big Joe Show. John, we'll go back to 1988 season for the Houston Oilers. The run and shoot was doing good, got great receivers, you know, go, 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 go. The draft comes in 1989, and the Houston Oilers take a tackle out of Florida. Can you take me back to why they took a tackle out of Florida and how, John, this compares with this current franchise needing this tackle?
David Williams was the tackle. I thought they were taking Steve Wisniewski from Penn State. The general manager, Mike Holovac, who made the decision, told me for my last mock draft to take Steve Wisniewski. And he was a badass. He was good. He was physical. And he could play multiple positions. And they thought he could make the switch to tackle. I never heard David Williams' name mentioned. And then they draft David Williams. And after things settled down a couple of days, I asked Kolovac, what in the world? What happened? He said, well, when they did cross scouting right before the draft, the guy that scouted the SEC just was turning cartwheels to get David Williams. And they had the coaches look at him. And everybody decided they liked David Williams better because he's a true left tackle, and he didn't know if Wisniewski could make the switch, and they didn't need a guard because they had two that were going to the Hall of Fame and Bruce Matthews and Mike Munchak. So that's how they got David. And David was a solid starter. And in 1993, he became famous for one of the strangest stories in the history of professional sports. They started terrible that year. They were 1-4. They go to New England. Warren Moon had been benched for the only time in his career for Cody Carlson, the backup, and David Williams didn't go. I find out, I'm looking down at the field, and I'm like, where's David Williams? It turned out his wife, Debbie, was having a baby, and he said he was not going, that he was going to stay there for the birth of his baby. Now, I'd never heard of that being done then. Now they do it all the time in every sport. They even get maternity leave in sports. So David wasn't there. Cody Carlson got hurt. Moon came in, led him to a victory. They never lost another game until the divisional round of the playoffs. And after that game, Bob Young, the offensive line coach, I pulled him around because he was a friend of mine, outside around the corner, interviewed him. He ripped David Williams. He said it's like in World War II, you're supposed to go to war as a soldier. You go, no, I'm staying home for the birth of my baby. And I said, Bob, you're going to get eviscerated. He said, I don't care. That's what I think. And so those quotes just killed Bob. He was just people out, women's groups. David, the story transcended sports. He and Debbie had offers from all the news shows, 60 Minutes. They ended up going on with Connie Chung on NBC and talking about it. And I saw David at an event about 5 years ago. Bruce Matthews and Mike Munchak put on here. Little Scott was about 6'6". And I said, do you know about Baby Gate? He said, oh, yeah. I've heard about it ever since I was old enough to know what my mom and dad were talking about.
That's great. Also, it's this kind of compares what we're going through now. You know, last year the Titans drafted Skoronski. If they get Joe Walt, yeah, the fan base won't be like, oh, my goodness, this is the greatest. But you talk about it in 82 and 83, John. 82, Mike Munchak. 83, Bruce Matthews. Not saying they're going to be the same career with Skoronski and Joe Walt, but what was the fanfare like when the Oilers drafted two offensive linemen back-to-back like that? And they did it again in 84 with Steinkuhler. But those two guys back-to-back, what was the kind of pulse of the fan base in 82 and 83, John?
First pick in the second round was Harvey Salem, an offensive tackle from California. And so they took Matthews and Salem with the first two pick, and the GM, Lad Herzig, didn't make it any bones about it. The idea was to build a great offensive line for Earl Campbell. And they had Warren Moon in 1984, and they thought Earl was coming off a 1,300-yard season in 83. So the whole idea was to have Earl as the focus of the offense and then have Moon there, and everybody couldn't stack the line for Campbell. And Earl got hurt in training camp in 84, and it all went down the toilet. But you can't go wrong with offensive linemen. Now, the Cowboys did. At one point, they had the greatest offensive line in the NFL, and they couldn't help them get any farther in the playoffs than they've had when they've been mediocre. The key, of course, those linemen are usually the most dependable picks. And when you have a chance to get Joe Alt, I think there's no way you could pass him up because he is as sure a thing in this draft as any player.
John, great stuff as always. I know folks can find your work at HoustonTexans.com. Appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
Guys, thank you very much.
Absolutely. John McClain joining us from Houston here on the show. Philip Forsberg joins us next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.